Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at tech. Let's Talk Letts is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rented sector. In this session today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ben Madden, who is Principal Director at Fine & Country. But more famously, Ben is also the founder of the Pass the Syrup podcast and the Boys Club, which I know some of you might not know too much about. So we're going to find out all about it today. So let's get started. Ben, thank you so much for joining me today. Please introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit more insight into the world of Ben.
So, thanks for having me. I am a 20-year estate agent, which is, for my sins, I guess. I started out at a small-ish corporate that actually was independently owned, but sort of presented as a small corporate, did a couple of years there, then worked for a really fantastic independent agent in West London before setting up my own agency. I ran that business for about 15 years, exited a couple of years ago to one of the large businesses. They acquired us. And so now I'm sort of fully fledged Fine & Country, covering West London, Southwest London and North Surrey. Yeah, other than estate agency, three young daughters, husband, full-time Londoner, sport obsessive. I guess a lot of the set, you know, my avatar is the same as a lot of agents, I think. Fell into estate agency, didn't grow up wanting to be an estate agent. Started life in hospitality, retail, discovered that I had an ability to persuade people, and so that translated either into selling houses or selling cars, and I landed on houses. Here we are.
And have you enjoyed it?
Every minute, Heidi. I really enjoyed being a salesperson, and I think for years there's been this strange sort of view that it's not, you know, salespeople are not good people, but actually a salesperson is solving somebody else's problem, is my view. And if you're solving someone's problem, that can't be a bad thing. So I love the sales element. I love running a business that you can directly impact. I think estate agency become a bit of there's a sort of commodity culture around the industry. And so there's so much opportunity to prove people wrong and do a great job and do great things. And I'm not necessarily the sort of fluffy, I'm in it just to help people move on with their lives. Of course, we like to service our customer base and do a really great job, but I'm much more interested in the people that I get to work with, the work we get to do, the innovative things we get to try, that wouldn't be the case in lots of other industries that are much more rigid. So for me, yeah, it is a fun industry to be a part of and be in. And I think it's been through a sort of rocky period, maybe the last couple of decades, and I think it's starting to move in a more positive direction again. So, yeah, happy with it, exciting times.
I think, as you say, we're a people business, aren't we? And actually, if you like people and you like talking to people and you can form a great relationship with people, it's a fantastic industry to be in. And I think once a lot of people enter it, they don't leave it. So obviously, like when you sold your business, you're still here doing similar things for somebody else. So I think that says a lot. And I guess if we kind of move on then to talk about some of the other things that you have done for the industry and in the industry, is you set up a podcast. So I feel obviously that I'm in expert company today on today's pod called Pass the Syrup, which you've currently paused to focus on something called the Boys Club, which we're going to come back to in a minute. But going back to Pass the Syrup, tell us a little bit more about what drove you to start the pod in the first place. And what were the reasons that were so important because to you? Because I know it's a topic that you're obviously very passionate about.
Yeah, so I think the timing thing really is what drove me to start a podcast. So Pass the Syrup, people ask about the name, why is it called Pass the Syrup? Because there's a lot of waffle. And so we need some syrup to sort of improve the flavour, if you like. What I discovered at the start of 2023, I was speaking to lots of agents that were, I guess, for want of a better word, struggling in their professional capacity and their professional life. And most of the agents I'm speaking to, they're director level, they're business owners. So if you're struggling in a professional capacity and it's your business, you're going to be struggling in a personal capacity, because the two are completely intertwined. This work-life balance nonsense, just if you're a business owner in a state agency, yeah, there's a work-life blend, but a lot of it, yeah, if work's struggling, personal life is going to be affected. So I was speaking to people, and sort of quite a few people, bearing in mind I'm not a counsellor, I've got no real reason, or they had no real reason to speak to me, but I was taking maybe a couple of calls a week from people that I interacted with in different groups, or, you know, members of different mastermind groups and WhatsApp groups. And I've got a lot of agency experience, and I'm quite optimistic and positive, and believe that if you dig down into the problem, you can find a solution. And so I think they were calling me to have that conversation. I'm also quite outspoken, and so they won't get the softly, softly nonsense. They'll get the truth, which I think some people really, really appreciate, even when times are tough. So having those conversations, I think the reason I was having them is Kwarteng Trust did what they did autumn 2022. And so we had that period of crazy intensity throughout sort of post-COVID, the boom period. Then the tap went off maybe summer 2022. Then things got really unpleasant around rates late in 2022. And so the lag means that your pipeline isn't converting very well at the start of 2023. And so people are financially under a great deal of stress. And I decided that, having had quite a few conversations, and, you know, in our own business, it wasn't rainbows and sunshine. Yeah, it was tough for us as well. But as a new business, I think we were able to see it slightly differently, that in our infancy, we're still in growth phase, whereas some businesses established for a long period of time were seeing a significant drop off on a regular year, let alone following a COVID year where it had been boom. And that, you know, we all know that's difficult to deal with, the highs and the lows. So I thought one solution might be a way to bring everyone together and, I don't know, let everybody know we're all going through the same problems. I had a really great line. People think their problems are their own, but actually they're not. You know, someone had that problem before you. Someone will have that problem in the future. They're not your own. These are experiences that we're all sharing. So if, you know, there's something in, and it's not necessarily a pleasant thing, but there's something in sharing a problem. If someone else is going through it, you feel a little bit better. Not because they're in, you know, it's more, you know what, okay, it's not just me. It's not I'm doing something wrong. Sometimes it is market conditions. Sometimes, you know, luck isn't on my side because I can't paint a big enough target for luck to hit because there's not enough opportunity in the market. So the goal was, you know, we'll get a few agents together, we'll talk shop, we'll have a bit of fun with it, we'll make it mildly entertaining. One of the triggers for setting it off was that I was at home with my wife. She'd had a really tough week. She wasn't having fun, and she decided that she wanted to put on something funny on TV to lighten the mood. And it's such a simple thing, but it was like a light bulb moment that actually, yeah, when tough times are tough, if you can smile and have a laugh, then it just gets a little bit easier. It becomes more palatable. So the goal for the podcast or the agent movement initiative was bring agents together, good quality agents. We can all talk about our problems. We can talk about the property market. We can have a laugh. We can have a bit of fun. And it might, at a better scale than me talking to a couple of people a week, allow people to relax into things, understand that it will get better. You know, again, it's highs and lows. If you're in a low, then, you know, there's only one way to go up. So it's going to come. And so we run with that. And as it happens, it went really well. We got lots of really positive feedback. We had loads of great, great guests on. I made loads of new friends, you know, agency friends. And I got messages from people that, like I said, it had a positive impact. And look, just to be clear, it didn't start life as a mental health initiative. And I still don't think it finished. It's not there. That's not what it is now. It's meant to be lighthearted. We started off heavy on property content, and we softened it up a bit because there's only really 8 things in property that anyone ever talks about: interest rates, property prices, transaction volume. After speaking about them for 2 months, I said, I can't do it anymore. Like, yeah. We're just having the same conversation over and over
again. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So we made it more fun, and people were telling silly stories, and they were talking about how they're finding things at the moment and maybe some solutions that they could implement in other people's business to get them maybe further along to where they want to be. So
I think, going back to what you were saying, I think if you've got the outlook, which you clearly have, which every problem, there is a solution for every problem. Actually, some people don't have that outlook, do they? And they can be in quite a dark place, which is, I guess, where listening to something like this can really help them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there. You know, I can think of times in business over the last 20 years where I've, you know, down the barrel of a gun may be too extreme a statement, but you think you're going in a certain direction and then something happens. You know, Brexit arrives. You know, you open a new branch and Brexit arrives. You think, oh, it's going to be really difficult to grow our market share we've based all our projections on what we've experienced over the last 3 years, and now we're in a completely different environment.
Yeah.
And that's unpleasant. We've been in a position in our old business where we've had to scale things back and let people go. Letting people go because the business doesn't need them anymore, in my view, is a failure on the business owner, because you've recruited them based on your projections and you haven't managed to get the business to where it needs to be to keep them in the business. So that stuff weighs heavy on everyone. And I think everyone's been through it. But I'm adamant that if you're able to take a step back, get your head above the parapet, often do the boring stuff, get back to the fundamentals, look at the numbers and say to yourself, how do we fix it? You'll find a way. I think I'm lucky that I was raised in an environment where tough parents, you know, there's just never going to be a I'm not allowed to make an excuse. It was a simple one. So if there's something that needs to be done, they're not going to listen to my excuse. I'm just going to have to find a way to sort it out. I don't think, you know, as a society, we maybe raise children in that way so much anymore. There's a lot of mollycoddling.
It's definitely something that we talk about, because resilience, okay, as we might kind of talk about it in our business, is such a fundamental part. And we've seen the people that can be the most successful have got a much greater sense of resilience to people that have not.
Yeah, I mean, I heard someone say the other day, the most successful entrepreneurs and leaders on the planet are the ones that pick themselves up more than anyone else. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, not to take away skill, because I don't think it gets talked about enough. The best performers on the planet have a certain level of skill. But what they also have is that resilience, that tenacity, that I put something on my social media today. No kid in the world ever fell down when they were learning to walk at the 50th attempt and said, you know what, I'm just not going to keep trying. Kids keep trying. Kids are resilient. And as adults, I think, you know, that sometimes fades away if the environment's not conducive with generating a level of resilience or learning. And yeah. I think it can be learned.
I think going back to the children's scenario is they've always got people encouraging them, haven't they? You know, and, you know, really kind of cheering them on. And maybe that is where we all need to get a bit better at it as we go
on. I think there is the cheerleader piece, but there's also I think children make the best salespeople. They just don't take no for an answer. There's no scenario where at the moment I can get my 4-year-old to stop asking the same question other than giving it to her or having a row. As in, I'm going to be firm with you here. It's a no. There's no logical solution to what she wants. And I know lots of parenting techniques out there, and you know, you should try this, you should try that. What I would say is, my 4-year-old is her nickname is Chaos. She is challenging. She's hilarious. She's funny. She's entertaining. But she knows what she wants in life, and I think that's what a lot of kids have. They know what they want because they don't know any other way. You know, I think most of us are born with that, but then the environment, and I don't mean necessarily home life only, but the school environment, the home life environment, your first working environment, they all take you, they all tweak who you are and what you are. And I think sometimes some of that gets lost. There's something inside that drives you. Do you have the drive to be resilient? But I believe if we can create environments where people have to be resilient, they practice their resilience, it better services them later in life.
And from the original pod to now obviously setting up the Boys Club, tell me about that transition and tell us all about what the Boys Club is.
So Pastor Syrup was meant to be something that I was just going to, you know, have a bit of fun, do it on the side, it'd be really easy. What I discovered, as you may have discovered, is managing agents to be on a podcast is like herding cats, especially when you want three of them on at the same time. So we always had three guests. So it became really quickly, it was becoming a second job, which when you've got we run a 3-territory business, we have other business interests, I don't really have time for another job. So it was becoming challenging, and in the current business environment I felt I was maybe not present enough with my team in our estate agency business. I wanted to be there more for them, so mm-hmm. we made the decision that I'm just going to pause it, because totally turning it off seems like a waste, because it was I mean, don't want to use the word popular, that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but people liked it, you know. Yeah. Somebody liked it. So turning it off completely seemed ridiculous, and I enjoyed it, but we're thinking maybe it'll be a seasonal thing we can do. I'm not one of those people that says, you know, everything happens for a reason, but roughly the same time as deciding we're going to do that, I had received a message as part of a WhatsApp group from someone who was going through a significant mental health issue, or actually, to be fair, had just sort of come out the other side of some real sort of mental health struggles, I think is the right way to put it. I'd been playing around with the idea of something that would help men with their mental health, because I think that's an underserviced area of healthcare or awareness, or, you know, it's taboo. And so these sort of things all sort of happen at the same time. We're going to turn one podcast off. I've maybe got a little bit more time in my working week, although I've turned it off to create time for work. This message came through from someone that I knew. And I thought someone was telling me something, we should do something about it. So I spoke to him and said, like, I've been thinking about creating something, maybe a bit of a group for men that are struggling, because men don't talk about it. And the rates around men's mental health issues are, I mean, they're almost unbelievable. They're so horrendous.
Yeah.
And I said, do you want to do something? And he said, yeah, I'd love to. So we came up with, yeah, we've had a meeting. It's called the Boys Club. The concept is very simple. We create a safe place for men to meet virtually online. That sounds like a dating site. That's not what I mean at all. Talking like a Zoom meeting. And the concept, initial concept, and it's transitioning right now, I guess, was that we'd set up a Zoom. You could attend this meeting almost anonymously, because you don't have to have your camera on. You don't have to use your real name. And the person that I did the first meeting with was going to come on, and he was going to share his experiences. He was going to talk through what he'd done, what he'd been through, how he'd come out the other side. And it would allow everyone to hear that story. We also had Stephen Brown come on in the first meeting, well-known industry trainer who's been through some tough times in his personal life. And he gave his story. And the idea was that, again, it's sharing in the comfort that you're not on your own. You're not going through whatever you're going through on your own. You're hearing other people's stories. You're hearing how they may have come out the other side. And then it was sort of open dialogue that anyone could, if they wanted to, they could contribute to the meeting. So it was opened up to the world of a state agency. Just posted it on social media to see if there'd be any traction. Amazing response. Masses and masses of support from people for an initiative like this. First meeting we ran went well. Really, really positive feedback the next day from someone who said that is exactly what they needed at that moment in their life, because they were going through something really, really tough.
And when people joined, did they join anonymously?
No, everyone. I mean, it was a reasonably small meeting, the first meeting. Everybody used their names, and everyone had their one person didn't have their camera on. But that was because of where they were, as opposed to hiding their face.
Yeah.
But it was, so the first meeting, 12 or 13 people, so not a big meeting.
Yeah.
But actually, in hindsight, pretty good that it was that size, because what I discovered is how much out of my depth I was in hosting a meeting talking about men's mental health. I have no specific experience, not counselled. I want to be the person that gives advice, especially the wrong advice. And so I was hosting a meeting that was quite tough, quite challenging. You know, it's a heavy subject. So we had that first meeting. Off the back of that, I realized I needed more support to do this. So I've now invited 4 agents from around the country to help, sort of a steering committee. We've had a meeting to talk about how we do this properly, because there is so much support for it. And so what we're going to do is take some lessons from, for instance, women in the state agency. They started life as a Facebook group, and we talked about, is maybe that the way to go, because we can create a closed group, which is safe. People have to present themselves before we allow them into the group. It also means sort of more simple things or operational things, like we can have a meeting, a live stream in the Facebook group, but people can watch it at a later date when it's suitable for them. So we've transitioned across to that. When I say we had our meeting 2 weeks ago, and I've got to now build a Facebook group, invite some people to it. And we're going to do it at a really small scale to start with. In essence, we think it will probably be the 5 of us. Our connections will join the group who want to be a part of this. And the goal is to have someone share their experiences at every meeting, and then have someone who's sort of a professional in the industry offer up some coping mechanisms and some advice around what good mental health looks like. So that it's not too heavy. People can take away, sort of the experiences of someone else, plus maybe a little bit of learning on how they can better prepare themselves or better move forward through whatever they're experiencing.
I think as well, according to recent research, 42% of letting agents, state agents, reported that they face challenges with their mental health. and that men typically find it harder to talk about their feelings than women.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's a funny age we live in, because there's so much content out there that contradicts sort of traditional male female values, masculine and feminine. So, you know, simple stuff like women now are, yeah, if you go back 30-40 years, women were maybe stay-at-home mums was more common than in today's world, where the man and the husband and the wife, or the partners, both are at work. And what you might find online is a whole load of content from a subsection of women that are saying they're looking for a man who's going to support them. Where your own experience is maybe your, so my wife works, and that works for us. But there's so much that makes it difficult, I think, for a man in this age to understand what his role is in a relationship or in life in general. Does he have to be the breadwinner? Does he have to be the strong supportive? Is he the person required to put dinner on the table, protect his family, or has the world moved on? Well, depending on what social media feed you find yourself on,
yeah,
you could be. So it's, I think it's confusing out there. Suicide is the number one killer in men under the age of 50. That is a I just can't get my head around that stat. That yeah. Under the age of 50, suicide, people are killing themselves. You know, cancer is awful, but we're taking our own life more than cancer is. That is terrifying. And 3/4 of all suicides are male. So it's clearly a massive issue. And I think it's confusing for men. But what adds to the, because of the confusion, I think men don't necessarily feel comfortable to talk about it. They don't want to come forward. They don't want to have that conversation. There is a taboo, which is really funny, because for most men, if they play sport or they get an injury, you can't shut them up. When there's something physical has happened, look at it, I broke my arm, I did this, I did that. And they're all, they're happy to not show off, that's not the right term, but they're telling everyone about it. When there's something that's mental health, you don't hear that spoken about in a pub too often, do you? You know, that doesn't come up. So there's definitely a taboo. There's definitely a cultural issue that needs to be addressed. I don't have the solution for that, but I think the more you make it normal to talk about it, the more positive the impact.
Well, you mentioned the pub there, actually, because I don't know if you've seen online, but there's been a whole thing recently about farmers. Obviously, could be female or male. And farmers and the death rate, suicide in farmers is going up as well, because obviously of the pressure they're under, and it's quite an isolated world. And really, the kind of campaign is, you know, all farmers should meet in the pub with other farmers or their mates at least once a week, and just kind of have a chat. So is the boys club really for people in the housing sector? Is that kind of some of the things that get talked about? Or is it really for men that want to learn more, and it's more about mental health?
So it's really interesting comparison, because at the start of every filming of Pass the Syrup, I would explain to the guests sort of why we are where we are, and I would talk about agency being quite an insular business, and you can feel quite lonely, especially if you're a director or a business owner in a state agency. You don't want to put the negative on your team or your staff, horrible word, and you don't necessarily want to discuss it when you get home, so you just bottle it up. And I think there's some serious comparison there to be made with farmers that find themselves, even though they might, they've probably got a team of people helping them, you don't want to put it on other people. So the boys club is it's evolving, I think, is the way to put it. It's not one specific thing, and I think in a year's time it will be something ever so slightly different to what we're talking about right now. The idea is that it's a safe place for you to meet people going through the similar sort of things that you might be going through. It might be that you just want to learn more about mental health and you want to bring some best practice back to your own life or maybe your business. The concept is, can we make talking about mental health more common? Can we open that up? Can we get people comfortable talking about it? At the moment, it's just for the property sector. I never really envisioned when we decided, let's give this a go, that it would be anything more than that. But such is the appetite that everybody knows, which is makes it even worse. Everyone knows there's an issue with men's mental health. There's so little being done about it. And this is not the solution, but it might just be a tiny thing that might help one person and make a big difference.
Yeah. And I think we are an industry that spends all day talking, if we think about it, whether we're talking to colleagues, buyers, landlords, tenants, we're talking all day. So the point about by the time you get home, sometimes you don't want to talk. I think that's kind of sometimes where the closed channels start, in the fact that actually everything is quite segmented. But your earlier comment about kind of the work-life blend, I think is a really good one, because we don't leave. I don't think many people are particularly good. Any of us are totally segmenting work and life, and it all kind of merging into one. So what advice would you have for, well, let's say me, leaders of a team. I have a team of 10 direct reports, 50% male, 50% female. We've actually spoken as a group quite recently about the women in the team, especially because we went into the Women in the Estate Agency conference and there's been a lot more talk about it. And we've also kind of started talking about the guys, saying actually, what support do they really need? And actually, we've had a pretty open conversation about it. But what advice could you give me, or other leaders, directors in businesses, of the things that they could do, or what could they look out for the guys in the team?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes back to being a really good, again, don't like the term, but employer. So mm-hmm. it's I think we can get pulled into siloing the different things. So how do I get the best out of the team from a sales perspective? How do I look after their mental health? How do I ensure they're engaged? It all for me falls under the same area, and it's, do you care about your team? If you do, you'll do the right thing. We know in this industry there's a stereotype around the salesperson. I don't think it's necessarily so true as you work your way up into leadership. So I think, you know, there's lots of negativity around the state agency from a consumer perspective. The consumer perception is that we, you know, we can't be trusted. We always perform so poorly on the annual survey of, you know, the industries that you trust. But actually, I think it's unfair. And I think a couple of people have had negative experiences, and it's just, you know, that feedback spreads like wildfire. I think we have a selection of really great business owners in a state agency. And my advice to them is, if you care about your team, prove it. So what does great leadership look like? I think it looks like setting the right example. I think it looks like really strong constructive feedback and creating pressurized environments that don't fall into stress. So a nice line I heard is, pressure becomes stress when it outperforms your resilience. So we all want pressure. Pressure is great. Pressure gets the best out of you. But if you're pushing too hard and it becomes stress, then it's not fun and you start making bad decisions. Google talk about psychological security. What's the one thing that the best performing teams in Google have in common? They did survey after survey. It's not about the skill, not about the talent, not about the leadership. It's about psychological security. So teams, they work in pods of five, and the best performing pods of five had an environment where nothing was laughed at, nothing was overly criticized. They were all comfortable to bring forward their ideas, put them forward, have them critiqued, and then run with it. If you can create an environment where people are comfortable, psychologically there's an element of security. They're not worried about putting forward ideas. They're not worried about pushing back on maybe your idea. You know, we've got those leaders that say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And the guys on the shop floor are saying, that's never going to work. Who's going to tell him? If you're creating an environment where they can give you that feedback straight away, you'll have a better team. You should have a better team and a better environment. It does so much for positive mental health.
Absolutely. I guess, is it just kind of keep an eye on your social profile in terms of when you're going to kind of make an announcement of how other people could join the boys club? Is that kind of the next step?
So, I think we'll... The goal, as I said earlier on, is to start small and gradually work our way out. We need to learn what's going to work best, what's going to serve people best. So we want to start small. We want to get it right. Yeah, follow on the social media, on socials. The people we've got involved are four high-profile estate agents. So you'll hopefully see one of the five of us talking about it and get involved as and when you see fit. By the 16th, 17th of May, there'll be a Facebook group. So if you are interested, you can just look it up. It's called The Boys Club. And it is a male initiative. It is a men's initiative, as opposed to just branding it as the Boys Club and having it as men and women. Because my concern, or certainly I think some of the reason men don't feel comfortable talking, is because of they don't want to come across as, in simple terms, weak in front of women, which I know is an oversimplification, but that's what for a lot of men it comes down to, that they're too proud to show anything that they regard as weakness or might be perceived as weakness to the other sex. So for now, it's a men only initiative, which is not something you hear very often, is it?
No, I actually feel sad about that. Not that it's a men's only initiative, that the men would feel like that. I understand why, but I just feel it really sad. Hopefully we can all be good kind of support of each other. So let's kind of move on to your other kind of world in terms of work is you describe yourself as being responsible for talent at Fine & Country. And I'm keen to know kind of what you do differently, what lessons you've learned along the way from the great people that you've worked with.
Yes, I think a major role for a leader of any business is to look after the team. And so that might be recruitment, it might be retention, it might be progression. I've always enjoyed, as I said right at the start of the podcast, I've always enjoyed the people I work with and getting the best out of them, probably more than helping our clients. So I look after those and the team look after our clients. And that's a really good fit. That fits really nicely. Peter Knight has got his famous people systems brand. And he thinks he needs to focus on those three. Mine is leverage, attitude, timing, and coordination.
I've been looking at your poster. So for everybody who's listening, Ben has a big kind of poster behind him with loads of kind of inspirational kind of messages on, really, aren't they? Or like things. At the top one is believe, care, try, which I actually wrote down. That's really important.
Yeah, I mean that's at the top because I think that's the most important thing. Yeah. You have to have belief. If you don't have belief, you may as well stop right now. And again, back to like great leaders, great founders, they've all got this just insatiable belief that they are going to achieve what they set out to do. And so again, that leads nicely back to mental health. They've got this resilience factor that no matter how many times they fall down, they're going to get up and they're going to make it happen. We, as a collective, we do training. We had training this morning. We do 90 minutes to sometimes 2 hours training every week as a group. I've done that for nearly 20 years with any business I've been a part of. We talk a lot about the skill piece. How do we upskill people? But I can see it time and time and time again. The agents that do a great job are not the ones that have the most skill. They're the ones that care the most. You will always find a way to achieve the result you need if you care enough and you've got that belief. I think the issue we were talking about earlier on with the mental health problems that men experience and what was happening at the start of 2023 is that people started to, their belief was being stretched because they've been through such a tough period of market conditions. And when things feel like they're out of your control, which a lot of the market related stuff is, your belief, I think, is stretched even further. So I believe in attitudes in our business is crucial. We have the right attitudes as opposed to the right people. The right people on paper don't always bring the right attitudes in. So
I was going to say that. So how, if you're looking for a new person to join the team, how would you assess the best one?
So we haven't had to recruit for the Fine & Country business in a really, really long time. We, in our small, relatively small team, we've got more than 100 years experience in this business because people just say, that's not fair. Not in this business, in this business and the last business. So, you know, working together, I think, is a way to say it. So how do we assess who's right for us? Are they our kind of people? So we in our old business, we ran different recruitment events. So we'd have people come in groups and we try and get to know them in a more informal way, so people are a little bit more open when there's a group having a conversation as opposed to a one-on-one interview. We put them through different tasks, we'd have them do different challenges, and it sounds all a little bit corporate nonsense, but it's a bit of fun actually. What we're trying to create is an environment that allows them to relax and show who they are. I guess in terms of the character profile, so we're not big on experience. We always looked for people that didn't come with the bad habits that sometimes present themselves in the world of agency. We like to mold agents. We like to teach best practice. We'd won multiple awards for service, training, development, marketing. So we try to bring what we thought looked like best practice into an impressionable workforce. It's the major things. Can they prove that they've got an insane work ethic? We don't want to hear someone say, oh, I really love location. I love watching those, you know, the TV programs about property. Yeah, just like if you're really, if that's why you're sitting in front of us, because you like to watch TV programs about property, then we're not the business for you. We're looking for problem solvers. We're looking for people with strong levels of resilience. We're looking for winners. So we're looking for people that have achieved things in their past life. And I don't mean necessarily professionally. Have you played for a sports team? Have you achieved a certain thing? Have you done something amazing for charity? Because winners win. So they're the sort of areas where you would generally focus. But there's that, you know, they've also got to be nice people because you've got to spend a lot of time with them every day.
Yeah.
And if we didn't like them, if they're not our sort of people, if they're not friendly, if they don't get on with people, if they don't have a laugh, then it's probably not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate to loads of things you said there. And I think for our listeners, there's loads of tips. For me, some of our best recruits in recent times in the last couple of months have been people that have worked in a petrol station, care home, hairdressers. And actually for them, to your point, they haven't got any bad habits of doing what we do before somewhere else. But secondly, they just like talking to people and they've become really good at it. And actually, so when they come and join us and, you know, talk to tenants all day on the phone, they're actually fantastic at it and fly from the start.
I think when I started out in agency, my perception of the ideal estate agency avatar was, to your point, they were chatty, but they were very amenable, very friendly, very sort of out there, extroverted. What I've found is that doesn't necessarily generate great results. So no. Confident and good communicators, absolutely. But communicators, two ears, one mouth. So that ratio is massively important. Our best operators are exceptional listeners. They know when they should be talking and when they shouldn't be talking, whereas some of the traditional estate agency type talk a lot. You know, it's pitching. And they've forgotten to ask any questions. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting when you think about those characters, the eccentric, over-the-top estate agents, but actually the great agents are sometimes the introverts.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Ben. What a really interesting session. I think we've all given us lots to think about. My head is like in 15 places all at once right now. But before you go, the regular listeners of Let's Talk Let's will always know that we end every pod by asking the guests if they have a funny story or anecdote that you can share. And I'm sure after that long in this industry, you must have something for us.
Yep. So I'll just go with the most recent one. It's just astonishing how many things happen on a... Sorry, I won't go with the most recent one. I just realised it might not be appropriate for airtime. The one I was going to tell you was about a probate sale, and the daughter of the probate, managing the estate, was residing at the property, and whilst on a viewing, she was definitely smoking some wacky backy, and we're 99% sure that someone's dropped off while we had a viewing there, and then 10 minutes into the viewing, I'm going to tell you the whole story. Yeah. 10 minutes into the viewing, she's maybe 15 minutes in, it was a big house, she's high as a kite, but not in an unpleasant way, you know, live and let live and whatever. And she got her recorder out, as in played the recorder, and started playing the recorder, and having basically everyone follow her up the stairs, and it's the most. So I wasn't on this appointment, but my colleague who was said it's the most surreal experience he's ever had in the estate agency, because at one point, the people that were viewing were definitely quite laid back, and we're pretty sure fell into the same category. Now, just to be clear, we're talking about a property valued more than £2 million. So, to give you an understanding of what sort of property we're walking through, she's got the recorder and is dancing up the stairs, taking people to the first floor. She's not even meant to be at the property when we're doing viewings. And the guys doing the viewing are sort of pretending to do a dance behind her, a little bit like the like a bit of a samba dance up the stairs. And he said, for a split second, he thought, someone's winding me up here. This can't be true. Yeah. This can't be real. And it was 100% real. And she thought that was perfectly acceptable. It was a very, very strange viewing, but also quite a funny story the next morning in the meeting.
Did they buy the house?
They were outbid on the house. It was a very, very popular property in spite of the interesting and eclectic viewings that were taking place.
Excellent, thank you. So for all of our listeners, to ensure you never miss an episode of Let's Talk Let's, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a review if you like what you hear, and thank you so much for listening.
Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.